All right, welcome to episode 80 of the Untitled Gaming Podcast. This is crazy. If our podcast was a person, we'd have dementia by now.
Jesus Christ.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
Oh, wow.
My God. How long have
you been saying that? That was the continuation of the joke.
That's terrible.
What? How is that terrible?
Dementia is not something to joke about. My God.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing because we're terrible people, okay?
And so are our listeners, all right? So are our listeners.
No, our listeners could be good people. Did that ever occur to you, sir?
The glass is half empty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So today we're joined by Zach.
Hello.
Chance.
Howdy.
And I, of course, am your host, Pat. Rick is not here this week. He went on vacation. It was weird because he got like super cheap tickets because it's like near an active volcano. And then we kind of just lost all communication with him.
Yeah, he said something about sacrifice and then nothing. So wish him the best.
I hope he wasn't sacrificed.
Hopefully.
We should find out in 2 weeks when he comes back.
We don't necessarily need to wait 2 weeks to find out. My God, we don't speak just once every 2 weeks.
If he's not here next podcast, we'll start to worry, all right? Anyway, if this is your first time tuning in,
we're sorry.
Welcome. We are a gaming podcast that aims to entertain as well as inform. We discuss the week's biggest gaming news, game reviews, impressions, and talk about the gaming industry in general. Of course, we don't only discuss games. Occasionally, we talk about movies, TV shows. Speaking of movies, favorite childhood movies.
How are you defining childhood?
Just what you watched as a child. It doesn't matter if it was like hardcore porn. If you watched that as a child, that's a child movie.
I was talking about like what age do you make the cutoff?
It's
all
right.
This
is a safe space, Zach.
Oh,
right?
My God.
You can admit anything. But no, Empire Strikes Back, 100%. Just like that movie you watched over and over again as a child.
You know what? I'll say the like the first TMNT movie, the live action one. Because I loved TMNT growing up and I watched that movie several times. Like,
yeah, I remember that being decent. I haven't gone back to see it, but I remember that being a good movie.
The first one was good, and then as they went on, they got worse and worse, and like
as most things in life. Zach, what about you?
Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase, for sure.
Are you like six, like right now? Like that movie?
What
just,
do you mean?
That movie's fairly recent, isn't it?
You are high.
That came out like 1990, like six, like seven or something.
I remember that being like one of the like last.
It's animated.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase came out in 2001. I was six. I was six at the time.
That seems too recent. But all right,
it
fine.
It was 19
whatever.
Years ago. It was almost two decades ago.
Still, like I remember that being like one of the most recent like animated Scooby-Doo movies, you know?
No, there's one that just came out. Like literally, like if like 4 months ago, one just came out.
To be fair, I stopped paying attention to animated Scooby-Doo movies.
So. Well, then that's on you.
No, that is not on me. That's on Scooby-Doo for no longer being relevant.
No. Scooby-Doo is always relevant. It's not my fault that you hate Scooby-Doo.
I don't hate Scooby-Doo. He just
you don't love
stopped
him.
Stopped being relevant. There's a difference.
How dare you?
Anyway, this week we'll be talking about just remakes and remasters in general. And then there is a lot of Xbox news to go over. But first, what have you been playing? Chance, you got a new PC that we want to talk about.
Yeah, I got a new PC, so I was able to play my League of Legends and World of Warcraft. Unfortunately, the Shadowlands expansion got delayed. The game I am excited for, it does come out on the 6th. That's the early access to Baldur's Gate 3. I'm definitely going to get that and play that. I have been playing a little bit of Destroy All Humans. I just need to finish it. It's, you know, pretty easy, but I just want to beat it and get out of the way. And then I have been playing a lot of Legends of Runeterra, which is like their Riot's card game. Oh, and TFT, of course, which is another Riot teamfight tactics auto chess game. But yeah, other than that, it's just waiting for Baldur's Gate. That's like the next big game that... I know Crash just came out. I guess someone else will talk about that here in a little bit.
I wonder who will talk about that, Zach?
Yeah, so that would be me. Yes, I've been playing the new Crash, which just came out today. I love it. It's amazing. It's a 10 out of 10. It's everything I want.
Already? You've played it like an hour.
I've played like 5 levels of it. I love it.
Is it going to beat Cyberpunk for Game of the Year?
Oh, 100%. Cyberpunk may as well not even come out, honestly. No, I'm kidding. It probably won't beat Cyberpunk.
Yeah, Zach's not qualified to make any sort of decisions like that.
But oh yeah, so I've been playing the new Crash Bandicoot game. It's been loads of fun. But I mean, again, still early playtime with that. Weirdly enough, I was going through Game Pass to kind of see what games were on there that haven't gotten a chance to play. And for some reason, I downloaded Descenders and Lonely Mountain Downhill. And they're two like Game Pass games that's just like BMX.
What's funny is I also downloaded Descenders. And I kept crashing. I couldn't figure out how to get it right. Like, I only spent 12 minutes on it or whatever. But it seems very, like, sim and not, like, arcade-y.
Yeah. Now, Lonely Mountain Downhill is very arcade-y.
So that's the one I should get.
That's the one you should play. That one's still loads of fun, too. Descenders is super unforgiving. It's way more realistic in a downhill than it is than Lonely Mountain is. But both are super fun. Just BMX downhill racing. You can do tricks and stuff like that, or do time trials and stuff like that. So just,
I thought you were gonna say time travel. Time trials. I'm like, I had no idea these games dealt with time travel.
You have a time traveling bicycle, and like, that's what's going on. Really,
I'm like, I really need to get more time into these games.
What I like about Descenders is that the levels are like procedurally generated, so you're not gonna have like the same experience at any given time. So that's pretty cool concept. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, typical rotation of Rocket League, and got back into Divinity a little bit. Me, Parth, and Jonah took a little bit of time away from that, so we jumped back into that. But yeah, that was basically all I've been playing this week. Pat, what about you?
So yeah, I put some time into xCloud streaming. They just officially like turned it on for all the Game Pass games recently. So I actually started, I picked up right where I left off for Wasteland 3, which is super nice because that's a turn-based game. So it's not something I have to be like, you know, super, like even if there's a little bit of lag, it's fine. And so far it's going great. I'm just like watching TV. I even had Netflix running on the same internet connection while I'm playing on my phone with the Bluetooth controller paired, and it was working great. xCloud is such a good value to Game Pass right now. And the cool thing is I actually saw somebody on Reddit posted that they got the new Google Chromecast that runs Android apps. It like is actually runs Android instead of just like streaming stuff from your phone. They plugged that into their TV and it had the Game Pass app. And then he just connected a controller via Bluetooth. And now he has a streaming thing directly onto his TV, which is awesome. Like, that's literally like the promise Stadia had, and it's right. A possibility with xCloud. So that's something I might look into at some point, you know, maybe for like the downstairs room or something where I don't have an Xbox set up. I just plug one of those things in. But yeah, that's, I've been playing that. And then I did put a little bit more time into just here and there, put some time into 3D All-Stars. I'm still doing the thing where I start with, I'm going to finish Mario 64 before I get into the rest of the games. It's not something I'm super like invested in to play like right now. Like, I have to finish it. It's just casually here and there, just putting time in. I think I'm at like 20, 22 stars or something like that.
Yeah. I totally forgot to mention that, that I was also playing that. Yeah. I did a little bit of Mario 64, but really I just wanted to get Sunshine started. So I jumped into that and played that for like an hour. So it's cool, like getting back to play the like childhood heavy game that I played so much growing up. But I did play it a little bit on the, like with the Joy-Cons and stuff like that. I think I'll enjoy it more with the controller.
Yeah. And then finally, it is October. We are big Halloween fans at TugPod.
I don't agree with that. I mean...
Well, fuck you.
3/4 of TugPod really love being scary.
Yeah. So, like, I'm super into October Halloween stuff. So, I'm on a mission to watch a bunch of horror movies, TV shows, and play a bunch of horror games. So, I started with Layers of Fear. Have you guys heard of this game?
I think it's safe to say I have not heard of this game.
It's kind of an older game, and like I think it's been free on Games with Gold, and then I actually got it free through Epic Game Store as well. So I decided to play it on PC, and I started it, and it's kind of like a walking simulator, but you're an artist or a painter in the like 1800s, I want to say, and it doesn't give you a lot of context to begin with, but you're like in your house at night. And there's a storm going on, and then you just have this vague monologue at the beginning before the game starts telling you to finish your masterpiece. as you are going through the house, you find notes and stuff, and then you have kind of like flashbacks to your memory, and you kind of notice that there's something going on with this house and the relationship between like your character and his wife. And but like it does the thing where the house will change when you look away. So you go through a door and then you like interact with everything in the room, and then you go back out and everything has changed. Like, yeah, the room you were just in has completely changed, like the layout. And then you are finding like pieces of like memories and stuff. And then you take that back to the painting and then you add it, and then it like fills out the painting. And I think there's like 8 different sections, and I think I'm at like the 4th one so far. It's Team Bloober. Yeah. It's the same people who've done Observer, and they're going to be doing the Medium. So it's an interesting concept. They definitely like playing with like the psychological side of it. And, the beginning, before you start the game, it says like it changes, the story changes based on your choices, but it's not like dialogue options. It's like you choosing your path. So there's a bunch of times where you are going into a room, and then there's 2 different doors, and then you go through the door on the left or the door on the right, and then you're locked out. So you can't go back. So I think based on whatever you choose, it's going to change how the painting was, which ends up changing like your relation, like how your relationship plays out, and like the backstory of the person and stuff. So it's definitely a very interesting game, and I want to finish it. Doesn't really have that scare factor as much as I would have hoped for, but you know, it's free, so I'm not going to complain.
Did you ever play Alien Isolation?
Yeah, I did get like a couple of hours in, and then I kind of just fell off because something else came up.
That could be a good scary game to play. I mean, you're just you're playing hide and seek with an alien, and it could be pretty scary.
Yeah, I'll have to get back into that. But obviously, I'll be talking about more scary games I play throughout October. I encourage you guys to do the same. Zach?
Yeah, no. I say you don't need to be scary or be scared.
You can play Last of Us. That counts.
Yeah. You don't understand, right? So like where you guys get like this heightened sense of bravery and like scare kick, I get a heightened sense of cowardice the second the month of October hits, and I become even more of a wuss than I was previously.
That's not possible.
No, it absolutely is. Trust me, it can definitely get worse.
Have you been to any haunted houses?
Not since I was like 12.
That's a long time.
A haunted house right now would be even more scarier because there's a pandemic going on.
Right, so why the fuck would I do that?
Have you guys seen the guidelines the CDC has sent out about like, a mask that comes with a costume is not regulation to protect you from COVID. So make sure you're wearing a real mask either underneath or on top if you are choosing to go out. But we highly recommend you do not go out.
Like, did they put that out as like a document?
Yeah, it's like guidelines for like what you should do.
So that's funny because it sounds like someone was writing as they would speak. And rather than just saying, we don't recommend that you go out, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to set out these guidelines. And then they like backtrack to realize, like, oh, but actually don't go outside. It's going to be tough too this year because Halloween's on a Saturday. So you know everybody's going to want to be out.
Definitely.
For real.
I don't know. Halloween. Awesome. Pandemic sucks. I don't know. But anyway, that's pretty much it for what I've been playing, and let's just jump right into the first topic. So I kind of wanted to discuss just remakes and remasters because we've been seeing a lot of them recently, and then we're kind of just on the cusp of the next generation, so I feel like it's not something that's going to like stop. It's just something that people are going to double down on, especially with like video games are like an infant medium still. Like out of like books, movies, and TV shows, they're the youngest. So you've been seeing that like in other stuff. Like obviously there's been remakes of movies. They remake the fucking, what was that movie with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga?
Oh, A Star is Born.
Yeah. They remake that every couple of years. And Disney's doing all the remakes of their movies. So that's not something that's like, you know, that's something that's been around for a while. And then remakes with games, I think, are just now starting to become more prevalent because nobody wanted a remake of a Gen 1 game in Gen 2.
Right.
But now that we are like 20, 30 years removed from these like really popular franchises, it does make sense to get these remakes coming out. So yeah, just recently we've had Tony Hawk 1 plus 2. We've had Super Mario 3D All-Stars. We just talked about that. Final Fantasy 7 Remake. I'm sure Rick would be talking that up if you were here. And then upcoming remasters. So there's rumors of a Mass Effect remaster coming out with 1, 2, and 3. There's a rumor of a Metal Gear remake that's going to be PlayStation 5 exclusive. These are all unsubstantiated rumors, but based on the trends, I think it is a very real possibility. I don't know how you guys feel, but have you guys heard these rumors?
I heard the Mass Effect ones. I didn't hear the Metal Gear ones.
Yeah, I thought I had the Mass Effect one as one of my predictions.
You predicted it for Summer Games Fest, and then I predicted it for Winter Games Fest. Hopefully it comes out. And then obviously Spider-Man 2018 is getting a remaster for the PS5. We'll kind of talk about the controversy around that. That's only available if you buy Miles Morales Ultimate Edition or a $20 upgrade to the normal Miles Morales. And they're not offering like the free upgrade that like Ubisoft and Xbox is, I guess. So kind of like what's the difference between a remake and a remaster? I don't think there is a clear-cut definition because these studios just kind of use their own terms. There's remakes, remasters, game of the year editions, collections. At what point, what would you guys consider a remake versus a remaster?
I mean, I think a remaster would strictly be like cosmetic changes and not a lot of changes to gameplay.
Just like an up-res?
Yeah, exactly.
Like just graphically better. Like,
yeah, I think where a remake would come into play is if we were talking like there's actually like some sort of significant change to gameplay in some way.
Or adding new content or something.
Or adding new content or stripping, not necessarily stripping content, but like maybe changing content around or something like that. But yeah, but definitely adding new stuff would definitely help with that as well. Because I think if you're just playing the same base game with just slightly better graphics, that's just really straight up a remaster for me.
So I have some examples here. And I think different people consider these different things. So let's kind of just go through these. And would you consider these a remake or a remaster? Because I think that's the best way to define it. It's not something you can really explain. It's like you know it when you see it. So Resident Evil 2, they call it a remake. Would you consider that a remake? The one that just came out last year or 2 years ago? Time is a flat circle.
I didn't play either of the Resident Evils.
But like you've seen the trailers and the
stuff. But I've seen the trailers and from what you guys have talked about, this definitely sounds like a remake. Anyway, like I know in regards with you guys talking about that, there was like actually like a completely contrasting style of the gameplay and everything. So that would like even something as small as that would make it like a remake.
Yeah, I definitely agree that's a remake. Link's Awakening. So this came out on the Switch last year, I believe. So this was they did up-res it. They did make some changes to gameplay and engine and stuff, but it was still that same basic concept. It wasn't really much of a shuffling of story and stuff. Like if you knew where the stuff was in the original game, I think you still knew where it was.
Like I know some games, like they keep like all the glitches and stuff, like if there were any or...
I didn't play too much of it, but I think they did fix up some of it and made it look a little better. But
like some games I know, like remakes, like even keeping things like that, like cheats or like glitches that were taken advantage of when the game first came out, and they still be in the game even though they got remade. But
that's just like a nostalgia thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say that Link's Awakening, I mean, if that's all they did, it was just, you know, that sounds like a remaster to me.
I think it's like kind of a spectrum. So like, I would even say Resident Evil 2 is towards like the high end of a remake, almost a new game. And then Link's Awakening is probably towards like the high end of a remaster.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then what about Demon's Souls coming out for the PS5? Because that does look like leagues better than the PS3 original. But from what I've heard from people saying, it seems like it's very much staying true to that gameplay.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with what it's going to look like what they've talked about as far as like PS5 is concerned, but unless there's like drastic changes to the gameplay, stuff like that, I would lean more remaster than remake.
I think it's at like the low end of a remake, I would say. Halo 2 Anniversary, this is part of the Master Chief Collection, and they basically took Halo 2's like physics and stuff and then remade it into a new engine, and it like has the thing where you can switch back and forth between the two by pressing the button in like real time. They updated the audio and all that stuff, but it still feels like Halo 2.
I'd probably say remaster.
Yeah.
Between a remake and a remaster, you could probably call it a remake. And no one would really like fight you on it. You could call it a remaster, and I don't think anyone would really fight you on it. Super Mario 3D World. This is coming out next year with Bowser's Fury. This was for the Wii U. it doesn't look like they've changed much, but then they are now including
Bowser's Fury,
which we are not. Could that be a huge section? Could that be a small little level that they add? I'm not sure.
I mean, either way, it's new content, which would make it somewhat of like a remake.
Well, like, that's the thing with that, though. It's like for the Crash Insane trilogy, they obviously up-resed it and everything. It was the exact same level base, like amount of levels and everything, and then they added like 5 brand new levels. That's not going to make it a remake over a remaster when like the primary content of the game was just up-res and they just added 5 new levels. It's basically like, oh, like here, like DLC, essentially. So like that, like the core gameplay itself didn't change. Like the majority, like, that extra 5 levels is like not even not like 10% of the game, let's say. So that's like, so for that, I'd lean that, keep that as a remaster. So it'd be the same thing with Bowser's Fury, where like this is kind of almost like a separate entity compared to the 3D world.
What about like a Game of the Year edition? Like basically including all the DLC, even though they're making bespoke DLC for this one. Like I feel like it's not even like we don't know too much about it. It's almost a port, I think. Like not even a remaster, because I think they're not going to add anything visually, like, you know, improve that or like add to the engine or anything. It might run a little better because it's running on more powerful hardware than the Wii U, but I think they're not doing anything to change the code or, you know, make it prettier or anything. So I would almost call that a port with like Game of the Year content.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see once we know more about that.
Right. Yeah.
So like, obviously this is a spectrum. There's a lot of different categories you can put these in, and there's been kind of a controversy on price. So we've seen like Resident Evil 2 and Final Fantasy 7 remakes come out and they're full price games. And gamers see that and they're like, yeah, we understand, we will pay the full price for that. Like, they're fine with it. And then we've seen like the Crash and the Spyro collections. These are, you know, remastered versions of 2 or 3 games at a reduced price. I think it was like $40 at launch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was $40 for both, I think.
Destroy All Humans was another, you could say, like, remake. And I mean, that was like price $40. Lower. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just one game. And people are fine. Like, people are okay with paying that lower price. Like, obviously no one wouldn't be, but I'm just saying like that's something that studios have done and people are like, yeah, that's, we understand that. And then there is remasters that have been lower price. So the Spider-Man 2018 remaster is a $20 upcharge, and gamers seem they think that's anti-consumer. Same with Call of Duty. Like, that's going to be a next gen version. You can even add 2K, NBA 2K, what are we on, 21? Right?
Yeah. 21.
Yeah, NBA 2K21. It's not a free upgrade to the next gen version. It's, you either have to buy the Mamba edition or you have to buy the brand new game. With Call of Duty, it's a $10 upcharge. So we've been seeing different price points of this, where people are fine with it if it's a full price game, people are fine with it if it's lower priced, and then there are some instances where it's an upcharge and they are not fine with it, even though it's not a full price game. A lot of that, I think, depends on just the other studios or what other developers or publishers are doing. I think the Spider-Man 2018 Call of Duty and NBA 2K21 stuff, if that was last generation, we wouldn't have batted an eye with it. Last generation, $10 to upgrade to the next gen version was the norm. Nobody was giving you a free upgrade. This generation, we've seen Ubisoft offer it for everybody. Even EA is offering it for all their games for a year. Mm-hmm. Xbox is doing smart delivery with all these games. Sony is offering it for some of them, but not all.
Each person obviously is different whether or not they are okay with the upcharge and things like that.
So kind of like going back to like the remake and the remasters, what is the sweet spot? Do you think that developers really should be putting in more work to make it more like a remake, like a RE2, Final Fantasy VII, and then we get these less often, but they are full price games? Or would you rather that they do it the lower price collection method, where you're probably not getting as much love for these games, but that's because they're not putting as much, they're not charging as much for it?
I think a combination of them is fine. I think it kind of depends on, one, the game that's being remade and or remastered, and kind of like what was it, how was it received critically, like at the time, or, and have certain things happened since the game had come out, like technological advancements, kind of the way gameplay has changed and evolved, that would remaking the game with those things make it a better game. Like, I've heard like people who talk about the Final Fantasy VII remake, for example, that like the combat was different compared to what it was when it initially came out, and people loved that they made that combat switch.
Same with Resident Evil.
Yeah, same with Resident Evil. So if it's something like that, then I'm okay with them, like, kind of putting in, like, they like putting in that work and then making it a full charge or full price game. Because if you're putting in the work to change all that kind of stuff for the improvement of the game, I think it's worth it. Whereas, like, for games like the Crash and Spyro collections, let's say, the gameplay didn't really change at all. So I was okay with that being, like, that lower price. So it kind of depends on what improvements need to be made on the game as far as, like, that's concerned.
Yeah, I think you definitely made a good point. Like, it depends on the game and the franchise. Like, if it is a beloved game, like RE2 right. and Final Fantasy VII was, whenever they get around to remaking Knights of the Old Republic, I really hope they do that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Where they change it and then they add to it. They make it like a current gen game, like make all those quality of life improvements. In fact, I think any, whether you're doing remaster or remake, you should be putting quality of life improvements in these games.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Don't rely on, oh, it's nostalgia factor. Oh, it's 4x3. It's for nostalgia. No, fucking Nintendo. Make quality of life improvements.
Right. That's like, and I know, like, now that we're on the Mario topic, we can kind of discuss it. It's so, like, going back into Mario 64, the camera specifically is not something that I missed from Mario 64. It's like going back to that now, especially compared to other games that have, like, obviously, like, obviously gameplay's improves, like field of view and all that stuff is way better. And going back to playing Mario 64 now is painful.
Yeah. So for those of you listening who don't know what Zach's referring to, basically they didn't change any of the controls or the camera for Mario 64. And if you guys remember Mario 64 back in the day, you only had one control stick or one joystick, and then you had the C buttons. And the C buttons were buttons, so they had each direction. And you press the direction, and the camera would just tilt in that direction. So it's not like you had full control over the camera. So they didn't change that. They just mapped the C buttons to the right control stick.
Which is fucking terrible. Like, how easy would it have been to go back in and just... do a 360 field of view or something.
To be fair, we're not game developers, so we don't know. We're not game developers,
so it could have been fucking hard. But, like, I can imagine that they would have the resources to be able to figure that out. Like,
but with a game that's that beloved, that historic, you would hope that they would put the time and care into it.
Exactly. And, like, that's the thing, too. Like, when we're talking about games, like, and I'm, even though I love Crash and I love Spyro, I'm not going to, like, mince words or pick bones about it. Like, those games and franchises do not have the same kind of clout, obviously, that a Resident Evil has or that a Final Fantasy has. So for them to kind of go about, like, only doing, like, no, I'm not going to say the bare minimum because they're putting in work to up-res it and stuff like that, but for them to release it as a collection, that's kind of right for franchises of that size. That I'm not going to say they had cult followings, but had smaller followings.
But I think what Activision is doing with those collections and Tony Hawk is they're gauging interest. They're like, it's going to be less of an investment for us to just up-res these games that are already made, sell it as a collection, and then if it does well, then we will get a sequel. And I think that's exactly what happened with Crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crash sold well, the collection sold well, and now you have a Crash 4.
Oh, I'm so happy too.
100% they are making another Spyro somewhere. I don't know who's doing it, but an Activision studio is making a Spyro.
Yeah, because the Reignited trilogy sold fairly well.
I think it's the same with Tony Hawk. I think there's a studio out there making a brand new Tony Hawk.
Right.
Because the collection sold well. So, yeah, I'm fine with doing that and just gauging interest. Obviously, out of the two, I would probably say I would prefer them to take the time and make it a remake. You know, like, if they do Knights of the Old Republic, make that a remake.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I love that so bad.
Because they could add a bunch of other things to that, too, outside of just quality of life improvements. So,
even given the option between the Mass Effect Remaster Collection and a remake of just Mass Effect 1, I would probably pick just the remake of Mass Effect 1, because Mass Effect 2 and 3 are not super old. Like, I can go and play those again and still get, you know, an experience of, like, you know, it's not super dated in terms of graphics or, you know, stuff like Resident Evil was. I don't think you can get that same night and day difference between Mass Effect 2 and then Mass Effect 2 Remastered. So, yeah. Any games you're hoping for a remake of or a remaster? Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, would be mine.
Yeah, there was that rumor that they are remaking Knights of the Old Republic, taking elements of 1 and 2 into a brand new game, and that sounds ideal to me. Like,
yeah, that'd be dope.
Run with that idea, EA, if you're doing that. And then kind of just going back to the using the collection to gauge interest. 2K, you kind of did that with BioShock. Where's the new BioShock? Come on. It will sell. I promise you it will sell. I will buy 2 copies.
You know how much it'll sell? I even bought the BioShock collection. I have it.
And he only played the first 5 minutes and then stopped playing.
I played BioShock 1 for 5 minutes, overcame my fear of the crazy lady in the stroller, and then I stopped playing immediately after
that. Would you kindly just play the first game and then Infinite?
No, scary. Creepy. Oh my Especially gosh. Not this month. Definitely not this month. Like,
this is the perfect month to do it.
We're going to force you to play it.
It would be hell for me.
But anyway, yeah, I just thought it would be an interesting thing to talk about remakes and remasters, because I don't think we've seen the last of them, especially with this next generation coming up. I think they're just going to get more prominent. Remasters, you have not heard the last of them. So let's just move on. There was a lot of Xbox news that happened. The biggest thing, this bombshell of an announcement that they just dropped on Twitter. I can't believe it didn't leak, something this big. They bought ZeniMax. So for Microsoft announced via Twitter that they have entered into an agreement to acquire ZeniMax Media, which is the parent company for Bethesda Softworks, for $7.5 billion.
Chump change.
Chump change, my God.
For Microsoft, maybe, yeah.
That is so much fucking money.
If this somehow is the first time you're hearing about this, and you're saying, oh, like, it's just an agreement that they've entered into, it's not final yet. They would not announce this if it wasn't going to be final.
Yeah, like, that's what, like, my friends were texting me about this. Like, oh, it doesn't go final until 2021. I'm like, no. It is final. It's happened, basically. They're not just going to say this. Like, yeah,
they have to do the paperwork and, like, the legal stuff, and it'll go through then.
Well, like, don't think that this is something that, like, isn't happening or has not already happened. It is official now.
Yeah, it's like when Disney bought the Fox thing.
Right.
We knew about that deal, like, so far in advance, and we knew it was happening. They were just working out the details. In this case, they've literally worked out the agreement before any of that was leaked, and now they just need to, like, basically file the paperwork and all that stuff. It's expected to complete the first half of 2021. This will bring 8 studios under the Xbox Game Studios umbrella with a total of 2,300 employees. So these studios are Arkane, which is famous for Dishonored and Prey.
Uh-huh.
Super talented studio. Can't wait to see what else that they do under the Microsoft banner. And then you have Machine Games, who are known for the revival of Wolfenstein, the new Wolfenstein.
What, Youngblood?
That didn't do too well, but both Wolfenstein 1 and 2 did very well critically and commercially. And then you have ZeniMax Online, the developers of Elder Scrolls Online. I know Chance has played some of that, right?
I played it. It's definitely a game that's still going on, and it hasn't died yet. It's still a thing, so it's here to stay.
Pretty popular.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Bethesda Game Studios themselves, who are famous for the RPG of Elder Scrolls, like the single player version of it, and then also Fallout, like, obviously 2 huge franchises there. And then you have id Software, known for Doom, and then you have Tango Gameworks. They're known for Evil Within, and then the upcoming Ghostwire Tokyo. You have Alpha Dog Games, who have done a lot of mobile games. I think they might have worked on the Elder Scrolls Blades and some other, like, mobile games for Bethesda. And then you have Roundhouse Studios, which was a completely new studio. They're working on something that hasn't been announced yet. So that's 8 extra studios that Microsoft adds to their already 15. So now they have 23 first-party studios.
Yeah, that's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is even bigger than the WB Games deal that was rumored, where they were showing interest in buying WB Games, which included,
oh yeah,
like, 3 or 4 studios. Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. Like,
just the IP alone.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like,
Skyrim and Fallout. Like, is everybody knows this. Even if you're not a fan of the franchise, you know of them.
It was like something that, like, in a long time, I haven't seen this kind of, like, reaction where, like, the gaming world just, like, completely stood still. Everyone on Twitter, it was, like, instantly trending everywhere, like worldwide. It was an unbelievable news break that that happened.
Yeah, and that's why I can't believe it didn't leak, because it's such big news. And like,
this only proves my point that people can keep fucking secrets, Pat. Like,
maybe Microsoft killed people, and that's why they were kept a secret.
Oh my god.
For those of you unaware, I'm referencing the old adage that the only way two people can keep a secret is if one of them is dead.
And I don't believe that adage at all.
100%. 100% Microsoft killed somebody to keep this a secret.
Microsoft would need to kill basically every person in every single studio to make sure that rumor didn't.
Not necessarily.
Oh, and do you guys think they're going to get Sega too?
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Yes. Yes, it has to, because that was one of my predictions. It's a pizza bet, man. It's a pizza bet.
But anyway, like, Microsoft said that they'll be bringing all of Bethesda's games to Game Pass, and that's starting with Doom Eternal, which actually went on Game Pass yesterday at time of recording. And all new Bethesda games will be coming to Game Pass day and date, including Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6.
Insanity. It's nuts. Like, for me personally, I've never been super into the Elder Scrolls, but, like, it's on Game Pass, so, like, why wouldn't I play it? Like, or why wouldn't I at least download it and, like, check it out?
Skyrim was one of the biggest games in, like, the last 10 years. Yeah, it was 2011. So, yeah, like, within the last 10 years. It's like one of the biggest 5. Games. Yeah, it's come out on, like, everything. It's been out on everything. And that game is so iconic. Like, and it's crazy that it's now a first-party IP.
It's amazing, like, just, like, the amount of, like, good work that all these studios have done. And now to have the backing of Microsoft as well is, like, you can only, like, now it's, like, things that you didn't think were possible for some of these studios are now, like, well within reach as far as, like, resources and stuff are concerned.
Yeah. And then Microsoft has said, like, Bethesda Studios will operate on a semi-independent basis, which is not unusual for Microsoft Studios. As we know, like, most of their whole philosophy, at least with Phil in charge, has been that you will make the games that you want. We're only here to support you and provide resources and, you know, sharing technology between them. So everything lines up to make the game you want to make. That was, like, some of the things that Ninja Theory has talked a lot about in their developer diaries and everything. So yeah, I think this is a great move for them. Like, it's so phenomenal, and it shows that they are so invested in gaming.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just gonna take a couple years to see, like, the fruit of their labor when they come out with all these.
Yeah, this is planning for this next generation.
If they can take that edge away from PlayStation of, like, having great exclusives, then, like, at that point, it's like, you need to have an Xbox. Like, you have to have one. You know what I mean?
It's absolutely planning for the long term, yeah, is this financial commitment. It might not be that much for Microsoft, but $7.5 billion is still a lot of money. And it's not money that you want to waste or invest poorly. Like, you don't want to invest any amount of money poorly, but especially not $7.5 billion. But this is also a group of, like, this is also a group of studios that have proven success. So it's not something like, it's not like this is a super risky play on Microsoft's part. I think everyone is kind of under the assumption that their faith will be repaid, both figuratively and literally.
Mm-hmm. And some of you might be wondering, like, oh, didn't Bethesda announce 2 timed exclusives for PlayStation? They did. Both Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo were announced to be console exclusives for PlayStation. Microsoft has said that they will honor that contract. That just basically means Xbox will now have 2 timed exclusives on a PlayStation 5. The thing about those 2 games are, I think they were both announced to come to PlayStation 5 and PC. So what Microsoft can do is they can put it on Game Pass PC at launch. So now you are getting it on, if you have PC, which I think would allow them to also play it on xCloud, maybe? I don't know.
So it's a little nice way to get around. To,
like, loop it, like,
to get around that exclusivity, so.
And it is a timed exclusive, so we knew it was going to come to Xbox eventually. In this case, it might be like, Microsoft might be like, oh, we're going to take the option to release it 6 months instead of a year or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a weird situation, but not something that's unheard of. We've seen Microsoft acquire other studios that have games already in development that, you know, they're honoring that agreement. We've seen that with Outer Worlds. We were seeing that with Psychonauts. The big question, though, is what about future games? what is Microsoft going to do with the IPs of Bethesda? So there's basically three possibilities. They can keep Bethesda games multi-platform and just take a publisher's cut of that, any game sales on PlayStation. Gamers are happy because now they can play the games that they love on their platform if they're PlayStation only. But the incentive is still huge because it's like, you can pay for this game probably $70 at launch, or you can get an Xbox and get Game Pass and now you just have it day one. Mm-hmm. That is a pretty good incentive, but you are still giving that game to your direct competition.
Yeah. I mean, they could also do somewhat like what they're doing with Call of Duty, like all the DLC or like all the special stuff will come out first.
Timed exclusive.
Yeah.
So that's the other option, as Chance was mentioning. You can make the games come out on Xbox and PC, and then, you know, a certain amount of time later, whether that's a month, 6 months, a year later, now it comes to PS5. The thing with that is we've seen the backlash from gamers. They do not like timed exclusives at all. And Microsoft themselves have said that's not something that they want to do. So that would be a weird thing, and Microsoft hasn't really done that. Like, if they do that with Bethesda, what's the reason they're not releasing Halo on a PS5, you know?
Right.
And then obviously the last option is to make Bethesda games complete exclusives. Like, they will never come to a PlayStation 5. They will only be on Xbox and PC. And I really think that's the route Microsoft is going to go, because that's just the way it's accepted that it happens. If the tables were turned and Sony bought Bethesda, we wouldn't be having this conversation of what do you think Sony's going to do? Because the answer is Sony's going to make those exclusives.
Right.
100%.
It's a different mentality, I think, from the Sony perspective there. Even from like Xbox's standpoint, they've kind of championed this accessibility for gaming. I think it would be awesome, obviously, if they went scenario one and kept it multi-platform and took a publisher's cut.
And that's not unheard of. Minecraft.
Right.
Minecraft is on everything.
It's not unheard of. It's something that they could do. And also, that's like, when you make such a big play like this, you could get like loads of huge press, like good press as well, for like keeping it multi-platform, because timed exclusives, I think, hasn't really been what people want to discuss, because timed exclusives do get a lot of hate. I think a lot of the conversation right now has been, is it going to be multi-platform, or is it just going to be exclusive straight up?
Although timed exclusive is not unheard of either, because Ori came out 6 months later on Switch, and then Cuphead came out like a year later on PS4. But again, those are studios Microsoft does not own. They do not own Moon Studios. They do not own...
Right, exactly.
I forget who developed Cuphead, but they don't own those studios. They just helped publish them.
Right, exactly.
It's not like they bought any sort of exclusivity. I think the deal was, we will help you publish this game on Xbox, and then now you have to find your own method to publish it on the other consoles, however you want to. So it's not technically timed exclusive, but it's not timed exclusive.
And in my opinion, I think I also would lean more towards Microsoft going the make them completely exclusive to Xbox and PC. I would be pleasantly surprised if they didn't, especially for studio, like a set of studios this size. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is also a competition, and what great way to kind of take something away from Sony like that than to take this whole set of studios away from them.
You don't pay $7.5 billion just to
let the other team have a say in it, essentially. Like,
yeah. And I know people are making the whole argument that, like, oh yeah, but they've spent $7.5 billion. They need to make up some of that money, so that's why they're going to release it on everything. My counterargument is, if they come right out the gate and tell you, no, it's going to be exclusive, you cannot play this on a PS5, how many PlayStation 5 owners are going to go buy a Series S?
Series X. Or yeah.
Almost a Series S, because it's cheaper, and they'll probably be doing most of their gaming on the PS5 anyway. But like, buy a Series S for exclusives. Either that, or they'll get a PC, and then they'll get Game Pass for a PC. Like, this is all a play to get people into that Xbox ecosystem, and I think it's going to pay off.
Yeah. I think the smarter financial play would be to make everything exclusive straight up.
Well, maybe not everything.
Maybe not everything, but maybe like your biggest titles or something like that. They could pick and choose their moments.
Well, I think games that are like games of service, like Elder Scrolls Online, I don't think they're going to wipe that away from PlayStation. I think they'll keep supporting that.
Or
any future Elder Scrolls expansions will come to everything. But I think the big, like, Elder Scrolls, Starfield, Fallout, you know.
Yeah, those they could absolutely leave at
the next Dishonored and stuff, I think will be, they'll definitely be complete exclusives to Xbox. The Xbox ecosystem, which includes PC.
So I think that would just be the smarter financial play. Yeah. Would be to do that.
The crazy thing is, like, Xbox, who is known for just having basically shooters, like first person shooters, are now known for RPGs. Because if you think about it, like, they have Elder Scrolls, they have Fallout, they have Fable in development. You have Obsidian, who is working on Avowed.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Like, they're the home of Western RPGs at this point.
I mean, they're the steps they've taken now is you're now looking at, you're looking at Microsoft and Xbox really taking a firm foothold in, like, every genre, really. I think even like a few weeks ago, like you look at Microsoft, you look at Xbox, it's kind of like a, oh, it's like, you know, it's more multiplayer oriented, definitely more like shooters and stuff like that. And you didn't really talk about them in this RPG kind of landscape. But now, like with this, you're talking about like some of the biggest RPG titles now, if not the biggest RPG title now, is in their wheelhouse now. So it's like, it's insane that like
Doomguy and Master Chief are cousins.
Right.
Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Like, and I think it, what's lost in all of this, and we mentioned it before, but what's really going on now with all of this is, I don't know how much of a say he would have had in this, but Phil Spencer's a fucking genius. Like,
I think he had a great say, but then they also had the backing of Satya Nadella, who is the CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is a huge investment in gaming. So like Microsoft does not just like, oh, fuck, that's just, yeah, $7.5 billion, that's fine. We'll just drop that on gaming. We're not serious about gaming. No, they want to be the major player. They want to be on top in the gaming space. So they are heavily investing in it. And I think it's going to pay off huge this generation. You have 23 studios now. You can have a steady stream of exclusives every year.
Yeah,
for this next generation. And that's a huge incentive to get.
Absolutely. And a move like this, in terms of a generation, I know we don't like necessarily want to talk about console wars and stuff like that, but a move like this wins the generation before the generation even starts.
It's definitely going to be a very interesting generation.
If not to call the race, quote unquote, early, Microsoft definitely has a head start. Like, this kind of news is massive in the world of gaming.
Yeah, like, so at the beginning of the Xbox One generation, they had, like, what, 8 or 9 studios? Now they have 23. Like, holy fuck. Yeah,
it's crazy. It's insane. And then with all of those first-party games coming to Game Pass, the insanity of having Game Pass now, it's, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, just in April, they had the Game Pass numbers. In April 2020, it was at, like, 10 million subscribers. When they announce this, they announce the Game Pass numbers, it's at 15 million.
Yeah.
And that number is going to probably quadruple by the end of this generation. Like,
yeah, it's insane. It's
such a good value. They've added EA Play now too. Like, it's insane.
I was texting my friends who are more casual gamers. Now that we're getting closer to the console, new console generation, they're like, oh, should I get Xbox? Should I get PlayStation? And I was telling them, like, you know what? You can basically do whatever you want. Like, they were talking about it from, like, a specs perspective. I'm like, you can really do whatever you want with either. Both of them, both the consoles are going to look excellent on either side. But if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck from a gaming perspective, and from someone who grew up more pro PlayStation, I told them to have an Xbox and not have Game Pass, you are doing a complete disservice to having that console. There's absolutely no reason now. With this news especially now, there's absolutely no reason to have an Xbox and not have Game Pass. If you're doing it at this point, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. You need to have Game Pass. Like, it is not an exaggeration when we say it's the best deal in gaming. It is not an exaggeration at all.
Even if you're a PC gamer, what the fuck are you doing? Get Game Pass for PC.
Right. Because it's such a good deal. And you're just like, I can't believe this is happening. It's like, but like,
they keep adding value to it somehow.
Yeah, like, I know. It's like, insane. It's insane. And like, even if they like up the price a little bit, like, what is it now?
It's $15 a month for Ultimate, or just $10 a month for regular.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
But Ultimate, I think Ultimate's worth it, because with Ultimate you get PC, Xbox, and xCloud streaming, and now you'll get EA Play and Xbox Live Gold. So you have everything for $15 a month.
Even though I don't do that much PC gaming, it's still worth to have in that sense, because I'll get like Age of Empires and stuff like that. That's on there. So for me, that's worth it. But even if you're not an avid gamer and you don't want to do the Xbox Ultimate, and you're strictly on Xbox and you're not on PC and you want to do just $10 a month with 23 studios with a steady stream of games that we would anticipate are coming out, like, you're way more going to make your money back on that.
Yeah, even if you don't PC game at all, just if you have Xbox Live Gold and you're mm-hmm. thinking about getting Game Pass, get Ultimate, because that includes both. It's not like you'll be paying any extra. Instead of paying separately, you're just paying one price, and then now you get xCloud, now you get EA Play, and then now you get PC, even though you don't use it. It's just a possibility.
So, why not have that option open to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's insane. And another thing I wanted to add, because, you know, I'm sure Rick would want to mention this if he was here. Microsoft has the Fallout IP, and Microsoft now has Obsidian as a developer. They can do New Vegas too. It's a possibility. God, that's just looking at these studios and the IPs that are available. You can have id do a Halo game. That's, you can have Ninja Theory do the next Dishonored. Like, I don't know why you'd want to shuffle around IPs and studios, but it's a possibility.
And now all these studios have the backing of Microsoft. Like, just from a resources standpoint, that's huge. That is absolutely huge.
And the fact that they're under this umbrella, like, they probably have more, like, the deadlines probably aren't as that set in stone. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, okay, we're under Microsoft. Like, you know, they're going to have all these games coming out. Like, we don't need to, like, rush something out. Take our time. We can make it how we want it thing, yeah. Where they won't feel pressured to, like...
Well, with, like Chance was saying, with the resources and sharing and everything, obviously, one of the biggest things that we've seen about studios who've been bought by Microsoft, a lot of, like, people from Double Fine and Ninja Theory said that they were spending, like, half their time pitching their games to publishers just to secure the funding to be able to continue developing the game. That's no longer needed. Like, they know they have a steady stream of income and resources from Microsoft now, so they don't have to go pitching their game to a publisher. They can just spend all their efforts on developing the game and getting it the best possible. And now you have that security, and you don't have that worry and everything. So, yeah, it's insane. And I know people are like, you know, if you're only a PlayStation gamer, you might see this as a terrible thing. But I think this is a good thing for all gamers, because those are going into Game Pass. You don't even need an Xbox to get Game Pass.
Yeah.
Don't look at this as like, fuck, like I'm losing a franchise. Be like, I'm getting way more value for Game Pass, which I should definitely get.
Which I think is hilarious, because I mean, I can never play certain games on Xbox, but then on PlayStation, but then PlayStation people are going to freak out that they can't play certain games on their PlayStation. They only have, you know what I mean? It's like,
I mean, exclusivity is definitely something that happens in video games, but it's just something of this magnitude.
Yeah. Like, how do you think Xbox people feel when, like, you know, they can't play Spider-Man or
like whatever? God of War or something.
So yeah, it's like welcome to the Spider-Man party or something. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing. Like, you need to have both. If you want to play the best games, you should have both consoles, because you'll get the best games out of them. Like, this generation, if I didn't have a PS4, I would not have been able to play Last of Us 2. I would not have been able to play God of War. Like, those are some of the best games this generation. So yeah.
It's just like, I don't really understand. Like, maybe obviously from a financial standpoint, I understand it's expensive to have both.
Don't get both at launch, but over the course of a generation, you should get the other console.
Ignoring the financial part of it, let's say. Just from a pure, like, mentality standpoint, like, the Sony fanboys or the Xbox stands or whatever, it's just like, why do you do this to yourself? Why do you deprive yourself of a good game, essentially, just because it's on another console? Like, just enjoy the games for what they are.
Like, obviously, I'm subscribed to both the PS5, Series X, Xbox One, and PS4, like, all those subreddits, because I'm a fan of both. And a lot of the PlayStation subreddits... You saw a bunch of posts of people like, you know what, fuck it, I don't even like Bethesda games and stuff. Like,
giving up on Bethesda just because they're owned by Microsoft.
Even if those games are not your jam, you know those are quality games. It's not like those games are all of a sudden shit now that they're on Xbox. Like, those are great games. So
it's just PlayStation people rationalizing it so they don't want to.
Just fanboys in general. It's not just PlayStation. I've seen the same thing from Xbox fans.
I couldn't imagine not being platform agnostic. I feel like I'd be fucking miserable.
like some of the best franchises are exclusive to one or the other. So, yeah. But that's not the only Xbox news. Xbox Series X's are now in the wild. Some news outlets got an early prototype of the Series X for review. Ours is in the mail. I did email Phil that we have not received it yet. He said he's going to look into it. Hopefully that gets sorted out, but we still have not received ours yet.
I love that we're on a first name basis with Phil Spencer.
Me and Phil are tight.
Sure. Sure, you and Phil are like this.
Yeah, Phil, check your email, because that tracking number did not work. So I'm sure it's a mistake.
That's ignorant.
So, yeah, a lot of these review outlets have a prototype of the Series X, so there are embargoes of what they can and can't post. So as of right now, they can talk about backwards compatibility, loading time, some of that general stuff. So we'll just kind of go over what they discussed here. So as for backwards compatibility, so as of right now, not all games that work on Xbox One work on Series X. But Microsoft has assured us they will by launch. So it's not something like you need to worry about. It's just they're doing this in batches. They have to just make sure it works before they enable it for everybody or whatever. Digital Foundry are the people that do all the like benchmarking and talking about like the how a game performs, and they run all the tests and stuff. They got their Series X, and then they actually had a bunch of games that they ran through, including GTA 4 for the 360, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, Hitman 2, Monster Hunter World, and Final Fantasy 15. So all of those games had performance modes where they either had like 4K, or this is for the Xbox One, by the way, they either had 4K 30, or that they had a mode that unlocked the frame rate to 60 FPS, but a lot of times it didn't hit that frame rate. So for a lot of these games, the frame rate was always hovering around, you know, between 30 and 50 or 30 and 40. I think Sekiro averaged like 37 FPS. On the original Xbox One, on the Xbox One X with this performance mode. But just by putting these games on the Series X, all of them are hitting their 60 FPS cap. It's not 100% locked. There are some like dips that you see here and there. But remember, that's just because there's no developer work that has been done. There's no updates or anything that have been gone through to make these more compatible with the Series X or make them better. It's just, it's on better hardware now. So it's all the Series X doing this. And then games that have dynamic resolution, for instance, like Titanfall, Call of Duty and stuff always does this, where they have the stable 60 FPS frame rate, but the resolution could drop to like 1080p or 1440p just to keep that frame rate at 60. All those games were hitting 4K consistently. So all your backwards compatible games will play better just without having any developer work. But it's super promising for next gen as well, because I think now 60 FPS will become the norm instead of the 30 that we've seen for consoles. Very promising. There's also the auto HDR implementation. They said GTA 4 was running at 60 FPS with HDR. So the Digital Foundry people said it's like looked way better than it ever has. They also talked about loading times. So a bunch of games were tested, and out of like an average of all of the games, you saw about a 30 to 40% decrease in load times when running off the internal SSD, and then about 15 to 20% when running off the 3.1 external hard drive, which most of us have. So it's not like you won't be getting any benefit if you're running off backwards compatibility off the external hard drive. You're still going to get better loading times. Obviously, the best ones are just going to be if you're running off the SSD.
I mean, obviously having an SSD is big, I would know. I just got some computer parts and I have an SSD now on my computer and it works a lot faster.
Doesn't even have to like do anything, even press he just the button, thinks about it, and then it's already loaded.
It just reads my mind. Like I'm about to click it and it's already up. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'm doing this. Yeah, it's so fast, and like it, like you had the pictures of like it's literally like cut in half the time.
You guys want some actual numbers?
Yes, give us factual information.
So Red Dead 2 on the Xbox One X loaded like from a cold, when you're going into it the first time, it took 159 seconds to load in the first time. On the Series X with the SSD, it took 68 seconds.
Yeah, literally like less than half.
On the external HDD, it took 119 seconds. Borderlands 3 took 213.5 seconds on an Xbox One X. On the Series X, it took 56 seconds.
Damn, you're almost like quartering the time. Like, holy yeah. Shit.
Halo 5 took 79 seconds from a cold boot on the Xbox One. It took 31.5 on the Series X.
Jeez.
Ori and the Will-O-Wisp, 119 on Xbox One X, 40 seconds on the Series X.
It's amazing what improved hardware can do.
Yeah, and that's, again, just nothing done on the developer side. This is just running off the SSD now.
So if so, because I'm not like super familiar with that kind of stuff. So obviously the developer work would optimize it for that console.
Yeah, so next gen games that are built specifically for the SSD, mm-hmm. you're going to see even better load times. Because this is all about like the game will load a certain section because it knows how long it'll take for the HDD to find the data it needs. They have it implemented in a way where they know it'll take this long. So it's not using the best delivery method, let's say.
Right.
But in this case, for the SSD, you now have the best delivery method. And they know you'll have the best delivery method because it's standard for everybody. Some people are like, oh, PCs have had SSDs for so long. Why haven't we been seeing stuff like this since then? Because even for a PC, you have to develop for the lowest common denominator. You can't expect everybody to have an SSD. You could make that a requirement, but I've never seen a game have a requirement for an SSD.
Yeah, with consoles, everyone has the same thing.
Exactly.
So it makes it easier to plan for.
So that's why you'll start seeing games develop for the SSD, and I think you'll start seeing the requirements for the SSD even on PC games now. And it's not like super out of the place or out of the ordinary for someone on PC to have an SSD. Just ask Chance. He got his very recently.
Very recently, yeah.
So this is more something that's indicative of what backwards compatibility would look like, right?
Yeah, so these are the load times of backwards compatibility games. They don't have any next-gen games to test yet. But next-gen, we've seen like people say load times were like a second.
Right. Okay, that's awesome. That's fantastic. So
yeah. And then let's talk about quick resume for a second. So quick resume works by dumping memory that you have in the cache onto the reserve space on the SSD and then loading it back up when you go back into that game. So basically, you are saving the state of that game onto the SSD as if you've never closed it. So Xbox One kind of has this sort of where if you turn off the Xbox One and you turn it back on, it'll pick it up right where you left off. And it doesn't work in every game, but it works pretty well overall. They're saying this is going to work even if you close the app. Like you leave that application, you shut down the console completely, you know, you unplug it, all of that, it'll still work when you plug it back in. And there's a certain amount of SSD space reserved for this. We don't know the specifics yet, but we do know that out of the 1 terabyte SSD that you have, you will have 802 gigabytes usable. So first of all, whenever manufacturers label something 1 terabyte, they're using log base 10 numbers. So they're counting, 1,000 gigabytes is 1 terabyte. That's not the way binary does it in actually when the computer's reading it. When the computer's actually reading it, it's 1,024 bytes equal a kilobyte, 1,024 kilobytes equal a megabyte and stuff all the way down the line. That's why it says 1 terabyte on the sticker when you buy it. It actually ends up being like 930 gigabytes when you actually put it in. So out of that 930, they're using about 130 of it for the OS and the save space for the quick resume. With everything, you'll have 802 gigs. So the quick resume, there's no hard limit to how many games you can use on this. It's until that reserve space is filled. So some of the reviewers said that they were testing only Xbox original games to see how well it would work. And they got 12 games to work on it. So they would have 12 games and then they would go back to a game that they had already loaded and it would only take 6 seconds to go back to that game exactly where they left off. Some people were trying it with 360. Some people were trying with Xbox One and a combination of all of these, and average all of the things that I've heard, it was about 6 games total. So you could have Red Dead 2 loaded. You're doing a mission and then Chance is like, hey, let's play a game of Call of Duty. Now you just go load Call of Duty. And then whenever you're done playing Call of Duty, you go back to Red Dead. It'll take 6 seconds and you're right back where you were in Red Dead.
That's awesome.
That's a game changer. Like,
yeah, it's huge because you don't have to go through like reloading or rebooting the game entirely. And then you don't need to worry about finding a save space, a save state place to save your game or whatever. You can just pause it and stop exactly where you were and then pick it up.
Yeah. And only when it hits that limit, it will take the earliest one out of memory to make room or whatever.
Right.
So you kind of have to remember, like, don't try and play like 8 games at once. Right. Obviously, it'll be great for like 1 or 2.
I would still say practice safe saving.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're about to say practice safe sex.
Like, please, just practice safe saves and you'll be fine.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times the loading into a new game will stop me from playing it. like, I haven't gone back to Wasteland 3 as much as I would like to because the loading times of that are huge. But now if it's like I'm playing it every now and then, it's in quick resume, I can go back to it super quickly, get a mission in, and then go back to another game I was playing or a new game came out or whatever. So that's definitely going to be something I use a lot.
So just the act of being able to switch and not have to worry about like delaying the playtime I could have with my friends that are like, if we only have a limited amount of time to play together anyway, I don't need to waste time. Like, okay, now I have to go find a place to save and then I can load this game or whatever.
Obviously we know game sizes are increasing. They say there's going to be a drop off hopefully for next gen, cause you're not going to have a lot of the, irrelevant data you need for an HDD, like data duplication, just to keep seek times down. But 802 is still not a lot of space for games. Whoa. Microsoft's solution to that is the expandable storage things that they have a partnership with Seagate, proprietary 1 terabyte SSDs. So those, they release the price of these. So for a 1 terabyte expansion card, it's going to cost you $219.99.
Jeez Louise.
That is a lot of money.
That ain't cheap.
Too, a little too much cheese.
For real.
I mean, honestly, it's probably in line with how much these cost right now. They just released one that people think would be, because PlayStation's method for doing this is you will be able to take out the hard drive and replace it with your own hard drive that you buy. It's not proprietary. It can be any SSD as long as it matches their speed. So the first drive that people think is fast enough to match the speed of the PS5 drive is a Samsung one that is going to be coming out soon here. I think you can pre-order it. That one for 1 terabyte costs $230. So this is pretty much in line with the prices right now for these speeds. Hopefully down the line, Microsoft has said that they will be working with other manufacturers, and then they'll be doing other like size limits, maybe 2 terabyte, maybe 500 gigs or something like that. Hopefully over time that brings the price down to something a little bit more palatable, like $100. Hopefully they can get it down that much for a terabyte. PlayStation, it's going to kind of go down naturally because it's an open market. It's not proprietary. In 2 years, you'll probably be able to get it much cheaper than the 230, but Xbox, I'm hoping they do make that a little bit more open and not just work with one Seagate where they're just setting the price with whatever they want. So that's going to be an issue that you probably want to keep in mind. But remember, you can use your external hard drive for backwards compatibility games. But for a Series X game, you need to save it directly on the internal SSD or one of these really expensive expansion slots. Uh-huh. But you can use the external for storage. I don't know if you guys do this, but I have not uninstalled Red Dead since I got it. Because
Nah, me neither.
It's a game I know I, at any time, I'll have the mood to go back and play it. So far, I've only played it like twice after I beat it, just to fuck around. I like to have the option without having to re-download it. Uh-huh. So what I'll do is I'll probably move, you know, Red Dead's a bad example because it's a backwards compatible game. But let's say the Red Dead next gen upgrade comes out. I'll probably just move it to the external and then move it back to the internal whenever I do want to play it. There are some people who did a test to see how quickly these would transfer. So moving a game, they used Assassin's Creed Origins, which is about 50 gigs. Moving Assassin's Creed Origins from the external hard drive to the internal hard drive took about 7 minutes. And then moving it from the internal to the external took about 10 minutes. So not unbearable, but enough to be inconvenient. Yeah. So I think down the line, you probably want to get an expansion slot when it is a little cheaper. Uh-huh. But I think early on, you'll probably be fine with transferring back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Something to be able to put up with just to not spend the extra $220 for another external.
So that's definitely something that's worrying, but you know, for that amount of speed, the amount of load times and quick resume and everything you're getting, it's a good trade-off.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think anyone tried it yet, but one of the outlets did say you can turn quick resume off, which I assume if you turn quick resume off, it allows that reserve space to be open for storage now. So you might end up getting like a few more gigs total, if that's worth it to you. If you're like, I'm never going to use quick resume anyway. Turn it off, get that extra storage space.
Seems like such a nice quality of life thing to like not have it
Yeah, I personally will be using it. Like, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was pretty much all the stuff regarding the Series X with the impressions that we got from the people. Obviously, they still have the units. It's just they can't talk about everything yet. And then you'll slowly see those embargoes coming out. So I'm assuming, you know, maybe next week or the week after we'll get some more news and maybe right. they'll have other games that they can play, like actual next-gen stuff that they can share with us. But yeah, very interesting stuff. And I think the Series X is a great machine from everything I've seen, not only for next-gen, but even for current-gen games.
Uh-huh.
So I did want to just take this last time to kind of go over our pre-order stories. Obviously, since our last podcast, the Xbox Series X and S were up for pre-order. And, you know, they had the date, the time, and everything in place. So I kind of just want to talk about your experiences with it, where you went to try and get it, if you ended up securing one, how it compared to the PS5. So who wants to go first?
Yeah, I can go. So with the Series X, it was obviously nice having a predetermined like ordering window when this was going to happen. Did that mean I got it at that time? No, it did not, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't think it changed much at all because like sites were still down. It was still like you couldn't add it to your cart. You were just refreshing.
I was technically like initially going after it. I was a little closer this time. Unfortunately, I ran into the issue on Best Buy, where I was able to get all the way to the cart, and then I went to go submit my payment, and then it just crashed. And then by the time I was able to reload and stuff like that, those pre-orders were sold out and stuff like that. Tried a bunch of different sites. Obviously, it wasn't just Best Buy. I even tried looking at GameStop's website to try to get it, even though I hate GameStop, and even there was on.
GameStop was doing the thing where they're like, you are now in a queue. Please do not refresh or you'll lose your place in your queue. And then someone went into like the metadata and saw that the website refreshed itself every like 20, 30 seconds. Right. So they were just like trying to limit it. So not everybody's refreshing at once. So they don't just get slammed.
So I was trying at a bunch of these websites, wasn't really working out. I knew eventually that it would, like, more options would open up. Fortunately, I mean, I was at work at the time, and then Pat had texted to get on Amazon. It's on Amazon now. So I was able to get it when it was up on Amazon. So that took me, like, 2 minutes, not even. So I was able to get it through Amazon. It kind of made it was a little less stressful than what PlayStation's was.
So I actually went in person. I risked COVID to go to GameStop to wait in line. The pre-orders were starting at 11. I got to GameStop at like 9:40, 9:50, and there was already four people in line. One person said that he had been in line since 6 a.m. Like he was the first one there.
Good for him.
He's like the rest of the people did not start showing up till probably around 8, 9 o'clock. But I was the fifth person and they're like, you better hurry up. I'm like laughing. I'm like, oh, they're just make it a joke or whatever. And they're like, no, seriously, hurry up. They only have five and you're the fifth person.
In line.
I'm like, oh, fuck. I got my place in line or whatever. And then I knew like me and Chance had already discussed it. We're like, yeah, we'll get there like 9:50. We'll have enough time. We'll get one. But obviously that's not the case. Like I know Chance wanted a Series X. There were four people ahead of me who are clearly hardcore fans. They are getting a Series X as well.
Right.
So then I texted Chance. I'm like, hey, go to a different GameStop because this one does not have any unless you want a Series S. So Chance ended up going to a different GameStop. He'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, I was able to get one in person. I pre-ordered. I paid it off right there because I'm like, I don't want to even deal with it or anything. So yeah, but it was like kind of going back to how I remember midnight releases and stuff because like for an hour, 20 minutes, we were just like five of us were just standing there talking about the Series X and like what we're excited for, what games we're going to try. And like we were talking about our experiences ordering a PS5. A couple of them were like also getting both. And then periodically you'd see every like 20, 30 minutes, people would pull up. They would get out of the car and we'd be like, do you want a Series X or do you want an S? And they'll be like, an X. And we'll be like, they're not going to get one.
Yeah, they like give them the hard news. Like, yeah, you're not going to get one. Like,
yeah, because like, you don't want the person to wait 40 minutes knowing they're not going to get it.
Yeah. Right.
And then, yeah, most of the people would get back in their car, drive away. One guy was on the phone. He was on the phone with his son. And he's like, hey, they don't have the X. Do you want the S? And you can hear the kid. he asked him like, what's the difference or whatever? And he's like, I don't fucking know. Do you want an S? And then me and this other guy spoke up. We're basically like, oh yeah, it's basically 4K versus, you know, just 1440 1080p. So if you don't care about 4K, the S is going to be fine, and it's pretty much all digital. And like, as we're explaining this to the dad, I don't think the dad understood it, but he was just repeating it, and I think the kid understood it, and the kid's like, okay, yeah, fine, just get an S, I just want something, you know. So he got in line and stuff, and then
that's incredible.
Yeah, the thing I want to talk about is the discrepancy between the different stocks of the two was crazy, because you had, like, apparently every GameStop, I was seeing this on Reddit too, had like five or six Series X's, but they only had like two or three Series S's. Like, the Series S's were much lower in quantity versus the Series X.
Huh.
So, yeah, I told Chance to go to a different GameStop. Chance, how did that work out?
I was the sixth person to get there. I got there at like 10:30. They opened up at 11. No one mentioned anything about like how many there were, but there was only four there. So I definitely didn't get one. I could have gotten an S, but I wanted an X. So I was like, some lucky guy came in and he's like, oh, am I late? And I'm like, well, would you rather have an Xbox One S? And he's like, sure. I'm like, well, here's the pre-order. You can have it. So I made someone's day. I wasn't expecting there to only be like four or five per store. I thought they'd have more than that.
And obviously you were in line when pre-orders went out online, so you couldn't really get one.
And plus, the thing is, I'm trading in my Xbox towards that. So I'm trying to use, because as of right now, GameStop has the best trade-in value. I have an Xbox Series X.
You have an Xbox One X.
Did I say Series X?
Yeah.
I wish I had one.
Oh, you already have it? Are you holding out on us?
No, an Xbox One X. I wanted to trade in at GameStop. They're giving $200 in value. And so I kind of needed to get it in store because you can't get that value online. Yeah, but we got something figured out.
Yeah, so I follow somebody called Wario64 on Twitter, and he's basically someone who has like these deals with people that like if you use the affiliate links to buy stuff, like he gets a percentage or whatever. So he'll constantly be tweeting out deals, and like for the PS5, he was tweeting out stock notifications. He was doing the same thing for the Series X and the Series S and everything. So I got my pre-order in, and then I came home, and as I'm having my lunch, I get a notification like, Best Buy just opened up more pre-orders. So I hurried up and I texted my other friend, Matt. I'm like, Best Buy. And then I went to Best Buy myself and I placed a pre-order and it went through. So I was able to get one through. And then like an hour later, he's like, Amazon just opened up their stock. And then I texted Zach at that time. I'm like, hey, Amazon.
The text was just Amazon.
Like, Amazon.
And I was like, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I know people are trying who haven't gotten one yet, like Zach and Matt and Chance and everybody. So I'm myself trying at the same time because I'm like, the odds of everybody getting one is going to be pretty low. But if like I try and get extra, we can trade off or whatever. So I ended up getting three total. I got my one in person. I got one at Amazon. I got one at Best Buy. So I am going to be selling one to Chance, and then the other one Rick will take. So everybody gets a Series X that they want. Like, they're just going to pay me what I paid for it. So it's going to work out in the end.
Yeah. Matt got his too, right?
Yeah. Matt got his off Best Buy when I texted him.
Okay.
Everybody, at least everybody on the show who wanted a Series X is going to get a Series X.
Yeah. It was good teamwork there.
Yeah. So now everybody who wants the console they want is going to get, like, we've secured our launch consoles. So hopefully nobody's gets canceled or, you know.
Right.
So I already got an email from Amazon saying it might not get here on launch day. So I'm a little worried. I'm sure you got the same, Zach.
Yeah, I did. Not necessarily happy about it, obviously, but not surprised either.
I think they sent it to everybody. I think they're just kind of covering themselves. Hopefully it'll get here at launch. But in this case, if it doesn't.
I mean, I did the store pickup for the PlayStation from Best Buy. So at least I'll have that on launch day. Series X, I mean, obviously, it is what it is at that point. It's not too big of a deal, though.
Comparing it to the PS5 one, the PS5 was kind of like a stealth. Like, we didn't know it was happening when it was happening.
It was a disaster.
It was, you were kind of more scrambling to do it. Right. But I was able to get what I needed in both cases. So it's not something I don't think one was better than the other. I think.
I do. For sure.
Maybe the PS5 one might have actually even been a little better because.
Because you didn't have everybody on the same page with it.
Exactly. And
like, you weren't competing with everyone who wanted one, just the people who were aware.
And the people who are scalping it, who like create the bots to do it, didn't have the
prep time,
the notice. Yeah. So for the Series X, they're like, okay, it's going to happen now. So I'm sure a bunch of bots bought it themselves, and like, scalpers are just selling it. Have you seen some of the stuff on Reddit though?
Which stuff?
People are doing that. They bought Series X's or PS5's, and then they're taking a screenshot of it, like saying, I have a pre-order confirmed. I'm selling it for like $900. They've already put the listing on eBay. So I saw a Reddit post where somebody had done that and they put it on eBay, but they didn't like cross off their order number.
Oh my God.
So a person on Reddit chatted with Best Buy using the order number and the person's like email and everything that like they had shown on the screenshot, and be like, yeah, I just want to cancel the pre-order. I don't need it anymore. And the chat person's like, okay, that's the order number. That's the email address. All right. We've canceled that for you. Oh, wow. And then the person posted the next day, the guy removed his listing because he got the cancellation. How stupid are you?
Oh my God. First of all, that's like a rookie mistake.
That's awesome though. That's like the story is like,
yeah, that's incredible. Epic. Like, it's awesome that they did that to like stop that dude from scalping, but like, wow. That is wow. Yeah. I mean, for my experience comparatively to the PS5, the PS5 definitely was more hectic, and it bothered me throughout the day up until I had to pre-order it at 3 a.m. Eastern time. Thank God I was playing F1 at 3 a.m. when Pat texted me that it went live again. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah, it's just, you guys are really lucky. You have a great friend in me who gets these extra consoles for you, texts you about these things.
You know, it's one of the very few times where having this friendship with you has actually reaped its rewards. Like, so,
I think my two greatest qualities is I'm super generous and I'm very fucking humble.
Okay, you're neither of those things at any case. Like, my best quality is that I'm always going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you right fucking now that ain't the case, man.
Like, I'm going to cut that out.
Oh, man. But we appreciate you looking out for us, Pat, if this is what you needed to hear.
But it's great. Like, my mind is at ease. I have both the pre-orders locked down. Right, and now when I just look at my Xbox One and my PS4 sitting here, I'm just like, you're so weak. I'm just so tired. It's like, I need to take these out back and shoot them.
Holy shit. First of all, this is disgraceful. This is disgraceful thought process you're having right now. For someone who is very sentimental and appreciative of what this generation has done for us, for Pat to be speaking in this way hurts me. It cuts at the soul to talk about. First of all, one of the fucking Xboxes he has is from Taco Bell. So he's even talking about the one that he won off of sweepstakes, taking it out back to the chemical shed and shooting it. Like,
I mean, it's like you're being replaced. I know you're being replaced. I know the date you're being replaced. Like, I assume every parent goes through this feeling.
Okay, I wasn't going to go there, technically, but sure. Like, what I was going to go with is that I've never owned a dog before, but you know, sometimes when, unfortunately, it is time, you have to put the dog down. And this is what I feel like Pat is doing right now. He's looking
at it. But when you have that new dog on pre-order.
Most people don't pre-order a new dog. Most people don't think about getting a new dog, but this is kind of like how I would imagine it would be. Like, Pat is looking at his now dying console. And he's like, when is it going to be the end for you?
Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
So, which hurts me. It hurts my soul. Because for what great things this generation has done for us as gamers.
You're living in the past, and I'm in the future already.
Like, you could still be appreciative of what it's like. It was so much the, I completely moved on now that I have this now. It's like because 2 days, I promise you, even the day before he pre-ordered his new consoles, he would defend that thing to its dying death. To its dying breath, he would defend it. And now he's just like, you're a piece of shit. Look at your dated specs and your crap resolution.
You're weak. I've seen the future.
Oh my God.
Your time has ended, right?
Oh my God.
Hey, I just know whenever I'm old and senile, somebody has the fortitude to preserve my brain and
well, keep me alive forever. Preserve your brain.
Why would they want to preserve a senile brain?
Because I was making a joke, like, I want this to, I want to go out that way. No, I want to live forever. Fuck yeah, you guys.
No, I know. I completely get it. No, you should have stayed on point. You should have pulled your own plug when you knew the time came.
With that note, thanks for listening. Remember, you can catch us every other Monday, perhaps every Monday, on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. You can reach us with any questions, comments, concerns. Talk about how I'm a great friend to these guys at the Untitled Gaming Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us at TUGPOD on Twitter and on Instagram at TUG_POD. There is also a Facebook account, I've been told.
Yes, that is the Untitled Gaming Podcast on Facebook.
All right, yeah, do that. And then we also ask that you subscribe and leave us reviews. Oh, also there's a Reddit. Don't forget. r/tugpod. We also ask that you subscribe and leave us reviews.
5-star reviews for us.
1-star reviews for every other podcast. When I'm old and I'm senile and, you know, it's my time to go, I will make sure I take every last one of you with me.
So Chance, we just have to make sure that we're not in the same room with him when he's on his deathbed. Actually, let's be real, he's outliving all of us.
Yeah, you're gonna die way before me.
Like, let's be real, it's always the evil ones that live the longest.
And that's why it pays to be evil.
Oh my god. That's not how I want this podcast to end.
with that note, thanks for listening.
I don't want that to be the lasting thought of this episode.